Hi.
Hi. I'm Ethan Nielsen. I'm from the University of Florida. And my advisor is Dr. Jude Grosser. And we work on citrus. And so my project has been about identifying disease-resistant pomelos for citrus improvement. And so I won't spend a whole lot of time on some of the background, but citrus is a major horticultural crop in Florida, almost $1 billion in 2012 and 2013, and it's been decreasing. The projection for 2014 was about 700 million, and there are 70.6 million citrus trees and over 500,000 acres, and Florida has been the largest producer of citrus in the United States. But you can see that production has been decreasing, and that's due to a couple big things. One of them is citrus canker hit really hard. So citrus canker, you can see a big drop right there, and then starting about 2004 is when HLB got really bad, and it's just been decreasing ever since. But in spite of this, value of production has remained high, and so farmers are still able to make a profit, but because of all the increased disease treatment, it's been increasingly harder to make a profit. And so, with like previous speakers have spoke, HLB causes the fruit to be abnormal, doesn't ripen directly or very well, and makes lopsided fruit that's bitter, and the tree leaves turn yellow and eventually drop off and the tree dies. Citrus canker is less of a fatal problem, but it causes these lesions on the leaves and on the fruit, and what causes that, or what the result of this, is unmarketable fruit, and so packing houses won't take it, and so farmers really don't want to have any on their fruit. And a lot of the grapefruit in Florida is exported to Japan and other countries, and then that means they can't export it either. And then additionally, there's citrus tristeza virus, which has become less of a problem recently, and I'll talk about that. And there's fungal diseases and citrus blight, which is another head scratcher. We don't exactly know what causes that, but it's likely a disease interaction. And then insect damage. So this is a citrus psyllid. I think we've seen some other slides of that, and that feeds on the trees. And then the citrus brown aphid is a vector of the citrus tristeza virus. And there's two reasons why that's less of a problem. One of them is that sour orange has been a popular rootstock. So if you stop using sour orange, it's very susceptible. And so plant less of that and be less of a problem. And then because of increased spraying for psyllids, there's less aphids and other insects. And then there's also the Diaprepes weevil, which feeds on the roots, which causes diseases to get into the roots of the tree, such as the Phytophthora and other soil-borne diseases. And then additionally, there are the abiotic stressors, such as drought, salinity, and the soil quality. Citrus generally lacks a sandy soil, but there's a lot of different soil types in Florida, which has a variation of pH, which all result in high production costs. And so while it's kind of a negative outlook on all these diseases and other soil problems, I think there is hope, and that is by developing new citrus varieties. So why pomelos? Pomelos are the largest true citrus fruit, and they are extremely large, or they can be. They come in a variety of flesh colors, from white to pink to red. They're usually very seedy. Some of them have very thick peels. You can see this one right here. It's like half peel. It's very thick albedo. And then a lot of them have a very big gap in the middle. But some have nice pink quality, nice red, and they usually have a good flavor. They can be sweet, some can be bitter. And you can see comparison in size. So here's a grapefruit, which is usually considered a large citrus, but pomelos are 2 to 3, 4 times larger than a standard grapefruit. So the basic citrus taxa and genetic studies have shown that there are mainly four ancestral species of most citrus varieties. The main one, or one of the big ones, is, no pun intended there, is the pomelo. And then the mandarin, so citrus reticulata, or the citrus maxima. And then the citron, citrus medica, and the pepita, or this is a Samoyede pepita, citrus micrantha. And a combination of these have resulted in our modern citrus varieties. So a pomelo crossed with mandarin has resulted in the sweet orange. And this, there's been several papers written on the same topic, but the most recent one, they studied the chloroplast genome, the mitochondrial genome, as well as the nuclear genome. And so they know that these are typically what the ancestors are. So there's a sweet orange. Pomelo crossed with the mandarin has also made the sour orange, which I said before has been a very popular rootstock. The clementine is a cross between a mandarin and a sweet orange. And the grapefruit is a cross between a pomelo and a sweet orange. And I put a red pomelo there so we can still see that that's probably where the grapefruit got its red ancestor. And then, surprisingly, the lemon is a cross between a sour orange and a citron. So the primary objectives in my study was to identify field trees lacking disease symptoms, and then test these candidates for disease resistance in the lab, and then using that information to identify superior parents that will breed new disease-resistant citrus varieties. The trees that we've used have been in the field for 15 years, and so we can really evaluate them under a good disease conditions. They've been in the field a long time. There is canker, there's HLB all over the grove. And so I went through, and there was over 80 trees that are all 15 years old, and they were planted in 99, and then rated them for symptoms, and I chose the top 10. So here's an example of what our grove looks like. And so if you've driven through Florida, this is kind of what a typical grove looks like. We have dead trees. There used to be one right here that's now gone. And you see several diseased trees right here. You see the yellow leaves. But this tree right here is healthy. And so it's been nice to see that there's hope. And so the selection criteria, we chose trees that had no visual symptoms of HLB. It's hard, Greg was saying, that it's hard to prove that the trees don't have HLB, but we can get a good idea if there's no visual symptoms. And citrus canker, we rated them from 0 to 5, 0 meaning no canker, and 5 meaning very canker. And so I only chose trees that were 0. And then for fruit characteristics, we prefer the red flesh with a thin peel and good symmetric sections, and then also good flavor. And so here's some of the trees in the field. And they all have these strange numbers. And then this one is the UKP1, which is a pomelo, known for, it was an unknown seedling. We don't know who the parents are. And here's some of the fruit of these. And so you can see there's a variation in peel thickness. This one is the most ideal thin peel. This one is also a very large fruit. But to see this one here is very low seeded and has a nice orangey red color. But a lot of them are very seedy, and this one here has a big hole in the middle. So for the citrus, so we'll move on to the lab testing. We test for citrus canker resistance. It's caused by Xanthomonas citri, subspecies of citri. It's a bacteria. It's spread by weather conditions. The top 10 varieties were replicated and grafted onto a standard rootstock, and then the leaves were injected into the mesophyll with 10 to the 4th CFU, which is colony forming units of XCC. We did 3 clones per variety, 5 leaves per tree with 6 sites per leaf, and after 4 weeks we counted the colonies, and this is what the leaf would begin to look like. And here's what trees looked like after 6 weeks. And see, marsh grapefruit was my positive control. Maywa's negative. And see, Maywa, you can see one kind of yellow spot there. And this 51993, which turned out to be the best from the study, you can still see it has a fair number of lesions. And what we found is that the laboratory test didn't reflect field conditions. And so we see Maywa here, and in Nagami, which is kumquats, Maywa is regarded as being resistant to this citrus canker. And so it's right where it should be. But marsh, flame, and ruby reds, my other controls, they should be down here at the end. You see they're in the middle. And additionally, running statistics, there's no statistical difference between the majority of the different trees. And so this is kind of a work in progress until we find a better way to test it. And then we tested these trees that, again, were asymptomatic for HLB, and then ran PCR on them to see if they really were. It chose the worst looking leaves on the trees, and there were four varieties that were said to be HLB negative. So that was encouraging as well. And every December we do a fruit show, and so this is a shot of the fruit show. And you see right here, those aren't melons. That's a pumelo, and that's one we call Monster. And Monster and UKP1 have been approved by UF to be released as niche market pumelos. Oh, and I didn't say before, the pumelos that we used in the study that are been planted in the field went through a soil screen testing. We put them in soils which have been inoculated with Phytophthora, two strains of Phytophthora, and so these were the survivors. And so they were already Phytophthora resistant and then evaluated, and then grown in the field to be evaluated for fruit quality. So the next step, so what are we going to do next? Inoculate, and try inoculating with HLB infected sticks, which is currently underway. Like Greg was saying, that you need to have psyllids involved to know if it's really an effective study, because if psyllids will feed on them, we don't know if there's something that the psyllids are not, you know, are avoiding them, if it's escape, or if it's really they have some sort of resistance. And then we're going to use these pumelos to develop new varieties. And so starting last spring, crossed it with the tetraploid pumelo, and the goal is to make seedless triploids. And so here's some of the rescued seeds there. And we have confirmation using a flow cytometry machine. And here's the peak for the 2X, the diploid pumelo parent, and the tetraploid grapefruit. So we know we have some triploids. And here's what the trees from last spring look like. They're getting, you know, nice and tall, and they're replicated, and will be ready for the next testing. So the other thing you should know is that pumelos make good hats. This is my daughter here. So thanks to Jude Grosser, Manjul Dutt, Ahmad Omar, Gary Barth of the Grosser Lab. I had help from Jim Graham and Kayla Gerberich from on the canker study. So with that, I have any questions, comments. Thanks. So the question is, are we going to try to use these to make new sweet oranges? Yes. I put some of the pollen onto some different oranges and different lemons even, and so see if we can make new sour oranges and new lemons essentially as well. And so we use it for whatever, HLB is ruining everything, so we need better fruit. Better trees.
One other strange thing we learned is that when we use the pumelo as a female in the crosses, even if you take all the male flower parts off and the petals off, we don't normally cover our crosses with bags, but with pumelo, the bees must be visiting the flowers anyway, because when we get a successful cross, only a small fraction of the seedlings are actually hardened, so we're going to start bagging. And probably the only females that will have to bag. But,
Great. Thank you so much, Ruben.